Coming in, coming out, my wall in me, tell me now. No tsunami level, you can't see me, but you hear me loud. Don't that make you crazy now? Don't that make you crazy now?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Andrews and Chat episode. This is episode 11. It's been, I think, 2 weeks since I've done this, 3 weeks, whatever. But I have Jero with me.
What's up, Posh?
Hey, what's up? And Steve's here as well.
Hello.
Yeah, we're going to just, you know, run down some of the shows we're watching this season, stuff that we're still keeping up with. Maybe stuff we've dropped here and there, but yeah. But first, we're getting some news. Don Machi, or is it Wrong to Pick Girls in the Dungeon? Got it. The season 2 announcement and a movie, but I don't know what the movie's gonna be about. I haven't really read the article. It's gonna be a recap or what?
I think it said it was original.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because the poster of it looked like it was maybe a new. She was wearing new. Hestia was wearing a new outfit, so I'm like, I guess it's maybe it's a new content.
Well, they gotta wear a new outfit so they can sell figures that are exclusive to the movie, and so everyone has to go buy those.
Right, exactly.
Although, is she wearing less armor or more armor? You decide.
Yeah, hopefully. But yeah. Anime Tamanga, which is the new, I guess, branding of Anime Mirai, which premieres all these shorts. Death Parade came from that. Little Witch Academia. So, things like that, I guess, come from that little animation short. So, it's interesting. I always like watching those things just to see what series just comes out of that. I think, I'm not sure what, the Dragon Dennis came out of the last one. It's a short OVA series, like 2 episodes. So I'm always interested in seeing that, just to see different animators come out and show off their stories they're working on and stuff like that. It's always interesting. Even though they're like 5 minutes episodes, but still, it's cool to see. After the Rain manga, I guess, to end in 2 more chapters. If anyone's watching that series, I guess maybe it's a good time to maybe watch the anime first and read the manga, I guess. Or if you're not watching the anime, you know.
Well, no, that just makes me think. I wonder if the series will have, the anime series will have the manga ending or not. I mean, they might have to cut some stuff, but, mm-hmm. You know, it's been on since, I think, what, 2014? So yeah. not even... Maybe 4 full years, depending on when it started in 2014. And, I mean, 12 episodes after 4 years of manga isn't unheard of. So they could easily adjust stuff and get that working out. Maybe it'll just release an OVA ending or whatever, but it'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. And I think they have a little few other shows that I can't remember that. Like, the anime is running, they're like, oh, wait, we're almost over. I guess the next news, Dragon Ball recast Bulma with Aya, I can miss his name, but Hishikawa, after the, I guess, the original actor, you know, I guess we talked about last time, passed away. So it's, I always see that, and I'm like, that's probably not a weird thing, but I mean, it happens, you know, Hollywood actors and voice actors, I mean, people were humans, so we die after all anyway. But it's like, you know,
wait, what?
Taking on the mantle of someone else's, yeah, I know, right?
Do we die when we're killed?
Possibly. But I mean, to take on the mantle of someone who's probably like, you know, in that world, a famous actor for them. So it's probably got to be kind of, you know, weird going, filling in someone else's shoes to fill that role that they've been doing for years, you know. So it's got to be weird for the actress, but, you know, I guess it comes with the territory, you know.
It's definitely weirder, though, because, again, as you said, this is years. I mean, it's not like, you know, someone played someone for like one movie or two movies and then died. This is like someone who, you know, how long has this actress probably been playing Bulma since the 90s? Right. So, you know, it's pretty crazy. But I don't really listen to Japanese, so I don't really know. But I'm sure there's a lot of people that will be listening with good ears to see if she can fill the role properly.
And I think this ties into why I think Dragon Ball Super is also ending. Someone said that it's going on a break, but they don't know how long it's going to be. And people are like, well, if they're recasting her, that means obviously they're gonna be coming back, because they're in an arc right now. It's a tournament, and they're going back to Earth anyway. So they recast her for a reason. So Dragon Ball Super, whatever, is not over. completely. They just need a break.
I'm sure there'll probably just be a few. There's probably some lines with Bulma after they come back, and so.
Right. Yeah. So they gotta do something with that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of fast how they quickly got someone in there, but obviously it's a kind of airing show. Still, they kind of, you know, kind of get on that, I guess. But the only thing I've heard the other voice actress in was she's currently Kuro and Cardcaptor Sakura, so she's she's been doing like anime as long as the other girl has. So they got like, at least a veteran that's been doing it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has some voices in One Piece right now with the whole Sanji arc that's going on right now.
Right. More news. Crunchyroll adds Garden of Sinners films to their, I guess, library of movies. So if you haven't seen those, probably get a chance to watch them.
Yep. And for me, it's been years since I've seen Card No Kyokai. So
on Friday,
I watched the first three movies. They're still enjoyable. I'm looking forward to watching
them. I remember there's like 10 of them now, I think.
Yeah, there's like seven main movies, and then there's like some epilogues. I think there's eight movies, actually. I watched seven, and then I didn't watch eight when it came out, and then there's some epilogue chapters.
Yep, so I mean, that's exciting. That's cool that you can see those now. Instead of buying with the Blu-rays, which are like way up there in price. Like, what, 500 something? I think higher than that.
Yeah, it's amazing how playing a fake Grand Order, they had a Card No Kyokai collaboration event, and how this, you know, this came about from that. It's like the event came out, and a couple of days later, you know, Amazon has it, and then a few days later, Crunchyroll has it. It's like, cool. Everybody can watch.
Yep. Last thing, the reveal, I guess Sunrise revealed there's another Gundam Build Fighters Season 3 coming out, which I saw like a prequel, like a, they've been releasing all these like OVAs and videos on their YouTube page. And I've been keeping up with like from the Season 2 ending with all the YouTube stuff and leading up to this Season 3 announcement, which is interesting. It's a weird setup they have like this. They do all the Build Fighters like they normally do in the other two series, but the third one takes a step further where they enter like a VR world. So you have all these like different avatars that I guess you use your avatar and your Gundam together to battle other people, which seems kind of silly when it's like the first two are just about building the model, going somewhere, and then using it there. But I guess maybe this makes it we can go anywhere you want now. It's worldwide.
I think it's more like that's just that VR has exploded in the last couple of years, so they were kind of like, maybe you should include this in the series too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
So do they build it in VR?
Yes, I was wondering too. I'm not sure about that. If they build their Gundam in the VR world and they use it from there, or they build in the real world, kind of like that's your basically your controller, I guess, and the headset is obviously the game console. Well, yeah, that's they're doing that. It's kind of interesting.
It's mixed reality, I bet you.
Yeah,
probably.
Kind of takes the charm if that is the case. You know, I don't have enough info, but if it kind of takes the charm out of it, you know, there's fun to, you know, it says a guy that hasn't built a Gundam model. There's fun to building Gundams.
Yeah, you even said you would pay Armro to build your easy little one to build.
I didn't pay him. He just did it for free.
Yeah.
Wow, nice. There was one OVA I wanted to mention that. Not OVA, but a special. They had the new setup was they could take AI from the animes, like you could have all kinds of characters, and make them fight each other. They did one where Char was fighting Ribbons, and they were fighting each other. And during the fight, he's just like, oh my god, I heard his voice somewhere. Because Ribbons obviously voiced the Amro in the other movies. And so, like, halfway through the fight, the guy hacks the game, whatever, the match, and turns Ribbons into Amro, and they start fighting each other. It's just cool how they kind of did that, where they brought all these different worlds, like Gundam 00 and original Gundam together and made them fight each other. So that's pretty interesting. I kind of hope they bring that more into the new series, where you could have these AI anime characters from all the series fighting the other people. It would be pretty interesting.
And you're saying this is a Build Fighters monologue or something else?
Yeah, it wasn't the one in the monologue episodes. It was pretty
interesting. I'm sorry, Battlelogue. I'm looking at a file name, and I'm wondering if I just haven't watched this year.
Right, yeah. They said that, and it was pretty cool just seeing how it would be kind of cool to see, like, make it from the Iron Blood fighting, like, Hero from Gundam Wing, whatever. So basically you have these dream matchups, whatever. But I don't know if they're going to do that in this new season. They might, but be kind of cool. On to, I guess, our anime discussion. I think the last thing to come out since I've redone this with you guys is Fate Extra Last Encore. Have you guys seen any of it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty hyped for it because of Shaft. I like them. I don't care. I just like what they do.
I just watched the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched two. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of cheesy and dumb, and
right.
Everything about it was like, it kind of reminded me of, it's like the worst kind of things that happen when you like franchise something out. It's like they took the bare bone concept of what, you know, the Fate series did, and then, you know, mixed in this kind of real stupid way to do it. And I just thought it was dumb and uninteresting. And I just completely was turned off by it. Yeah. So
it's a video game plot, pretty much.
Right.
And, you know, they're trying to do something a little different.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of like VR, that's pretty much what this extra Fate Extra really is. They're stuck in this virtual world where they play, you know, constantly the Holy Grail War. That's what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah. But I've seen, like, I think I'm obsessed with where they're at now, and they kind of did something interesting where they had all the masters. I guess there's a different floor, so when you beat the master of the floor, you can control whatever on that floor. And I guess Shinji had the first floor, and he remodeled the entire city. The Holy Grail War, he didn't do no more because it's all the servants are selling their masters, like selling the servants off.
Yeah,
it's kind of a weird concept, but basically he just abolished all the Holy Grail War on his little world. So you don't do that no more. You just live in the city, do whatever you want. But yeah, I thought that was interesting how you could do that. If you're the owner of that floor, you can remodel it however you want. But yeah, I mean, I can agree with Steve. It's not that interesting after seeing, like, cause I watched all of Apocrypha. I didn't like that either. So
yeah,
going into this one, I'm like, eh. I always hear hype about Red Saber, this Saber being the best Saber because she's entertaining, which she is, but that's about it. That's all they got really going for the series right now besides the Shaft visuals.
Pretty much, yeah. If you don't like...
The fights are kind of like, eh.
Yeah, if you don't like Red... I almost said Red Saber, which is Mordred. If you don't like Nero or like some of the other servants, I don't think you're going to be any interested in watching a at best so-so story.
Right, yeah. I'm actually happy they got replaced the main guy, so there's a new main character, which he's not as interesting either, so it's not very much of an improvement.
Yeah, they were pretty bad, because it was essentially like an avatar for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I will say I did like Rin's redesign in that anime, though. It's got slightly older, but like it's like this sci-fi spin on her outfit. Looks kind of weird, but yeah. but yeah. So I guess jump into the actual anime of the season that we're enjoying. I guess start with you, J-Ro, since you only really have one right here. What's going on with your series so far?
So Kokoku, which we have not talked about since the initial impressions. We were kind of saying it was kind of interesting, wanted to see a little bit more about this world and see a little bit about the rules. And so far, I think they've been doing a pretty nice job with everything in the, and kind of not going, I don't think they're going too complex into the rules of stasis and the world that they're in. And I think it's been really enjoyable to watch the characters progress through this world. And, you know, quite a bit has happened since the beginning. We've seen Jiri sort of awaken the power to expel jellyfish from people. So now she's able to bring them into stasis. And then we've seen more about the heralds, and Majima has had her sort of turning point where she had gotten her family sort of out of their herald status and found out that her younger brother was alive. So it's been quite good so far.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you save her little brother yet? That was like the main reason why they went over there. Like, did they save him yet? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying this one too. again, kind of like what we were talking about with After the Rain a little earlier, is just the idea that going into the series, I know I'm getting a complete series, is already kind of nice. Mm-hmm. And so I've been kind of liking the story, and I like how they're dealing with the story, because this is, you know, this is like one long chapter almost, it feels right. Like, you know, a lot of times you watch a story and it's like complex, but you know, stay entered stasis and every moment that's been in that stasis moment. So they haven't gotten out of it. They're still trying to figure the whole thing out. So it's just, I kind of like the way they set the story up to begin with. The last couple episodes have been really cool too, just seeing the characters kind of come together, you know, the one guy, Sako, you know, joining up with Majima because he's like, well, whatever. And, you know, the grandfather all like, I can't trust you and everything.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of like that whole dynamic there. And, you know, normally you don't see characters like Sako have any real time. He's kind of like the generic bad guy that, you know, that bullies someone, but he's actually gotten some moments to talk mm-hmm. and flesh out his character. Mm-hmm. Also, I really like the dad. I think he's kind of like this hilarious mix of the character. You know, everyone's like serious, and he's kind of like the more, yeah. I want to use the stone. They can't destroy it. Or, you know, he's like, no, you can't just bring the Herald about thinking it. You'd have to be really messed up. And, you know, he just thinks, and the Herald comes out and tries to kill him. And he's like,
right, yeah.
It was just hilarious, kind of a hilarious little moment there. And,
yeah. That was a really good scene, too, because it started mm-hmm. with. You know, they had in previous episode investigated how intent to murder mm-hmm. Brings about the Heralds, and Majima couldn't quite get that intent to kill. And then once the dad came in, kind of coming off as complacent about being stuck in stasis, is when the Herald came and then the mm-hmm. The action happened there. I thought that was a really good scene.
Yeah, definitely a series that I think, you know, it's not for everyone, but it's like a good contained story, and all the characters have been enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I mean, even yeah. Tsubasa, you know, the brother had his moments, you know, mm-hmm. where he was caring for his nephew, and then he kind of like had to kill that one guy, and it was so it was so like kind of brutal in the way he did it, but yet not really like brutal in showing it. It was just like showing the death of the guy and, you know, mm-hmm. and wetting himself and he was dying. And it was just kind of like a good scene there. And then even him, like, you know, afterwards, like I killed the guy and, you mm-hmm. know, almost turning into a Herald himself.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jerry catching him at just the right time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was also noticing in the opening that after the sixth episode, Jerry's clothes were kind of ripped up. I was thinking she's going to have to change it. And in the opening, they gave her her new clothes. I thought that was a nice little touch.
I didn't even notice that. That's cool. Yeah, I'm very looking forward to where the series is going. That's one of the things that I'm curious to see, because at the end of this episode, we saw the, I can't remember his name, the priest guy, the grand priest. Yeah,
Sagawa.
Sagawa, yeah. He came in and he's like, he's figured out some way to manipulate the jellyfish and everything. And I think I'm curious to see where that leads from there. And, you know, even in the whole, like, I love how it's kind of like Die Hard-esque, you know, they come in just seeing like, well, how many guys are left? And he's like, oh, he's got seven guys left. So mm-hmm. just curious to see how that whole dynamic works. In the second half of the series.
Right, yeah.
Nice. What about you, Steve? What's a series you're currently liking still?
So speaking of After the Rain, that's kind of like the next show I wanted to get into. Mm-hmm. Especially when we watched the first episode, we made the whole, when we talked about it first, we talked how we liked the series, and you know, we liked Tachibana and that whole dynamic, but one thing I've really liked, and this is what I kind of wanted to hit on more. I loved how we've got, like, this is, I don't believe it was in the first two episodes, but we suddenly got into the mind of Kondo. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was such a great way to do it, because like, if the series had just been from the perspective of Akira, you know, and hearing what she has to think about everything, I think we would have been lost, but being able to hear the thoughts of actually, you know, Kondo and what he was thinking, I love that narration and kind of it gave you a better understanding of who he was.
Right. Yeah.
And made me kind of enjoy the show more. Even the last episode, I don't know if you watched this week's episode, we got to see more about Haruka and her connection to Tachibana and mm-hmm. how they were friends and the whole running stuff. So I feel like this show has more like legs to carry on it because of the characters and the way they're kind of allowing other characters to take control of the series.
I'm glad they did that because I was getting kind of like, it's going to be just about these two the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like, eh, it's interesting, but I want to see what other people think about this. And then even though the runner girl doesn't know what's really going on, but she just, I like that little thing about the friends talking about their past and why they separated for a little bit and let her back together. And I thought that was pretty nice.
Seeing Kondo's side of it was good because you have this unique love interest between a 17 and a 45-year-old man. And so to see his thought process on... He's kind of... Like, at first he tried to tell her, you know, it's kind of odd to date a 45-year-old man.
Right.
He's kind of more, like, down on himself than kind of outright denying her. So it's almost like... He's not intentionally trying to do it, but he's leaving just enough of the door open for her to kind of get her foot in a little bit.
Right, and like the previous episode saying that she wants to know more about him. So she is like interested, and like she wants to know what kind of books he reads, other things. So it is interesting, but like you said, he's not exactly outright denying her, like telling her no. He's just, you know, kind of like, oh, I'll let you hang on that for a bit.
He's very unassuming.
Right. Yeah. He's not taking advantage of the situation, I guess. You know, most people would be like, oh, sure, hell yeah. You know, most people would do that. Who would, you know, jump the gun to have that? But, it's like, it is interesting seeing that how he's, like you said, not really letting her 100% right now. So, and I love to notice a lot of things she does reminds him of his past, past wife or whatever. So it's like, she's kind of like giving him, like, a little bit of that, I guess. Like giving him all these memories, like he's remembering a lot of things from his past. Mm-hmm. So like we live in his childhood, but his younger years, basically.
And that's actually something I was hoping the series would get onto. Mm-hmm. That was one thing I was going to mention was that I want to like I would like to know more about him and what he's gone through because obviously he's got a kid, you know, he used to be married, so there's obviously a lot there to kind of cover, and that's one of the things I would love to see covered. I think they're just waiting for it, obviously, for eventually the wife will step, the ex-wife will step in and we'll see more about her. I would hope so. Right. Maybe that's something they cut and it's in the manga only, but who knows? But it would be something more interesting because again, as you said, we get those flashes of him thinking about how he was when he was in high school. And I would kind of love to explore that aspect of the story too. You know, getting back to the story, you know, we got with Haruka and her, it shows that they're willing to give the reins of the series to other characters. And that's something I think the best shows can do. You know, it kind of makes me think of shows like Scrubs where, you know, not every episode was about the main character, and that was the best way to kind of deal with the show because you could not get bored of watching the same thing over and over again because you just didn't always have that one perspective. So,
right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely nice to see other views and stuff on the things and whatnot. And I will mention it was funny with the episode where she went to his house with his son. It was pretty funny. hiding the entire time, like had to escape the
room. Yeah, I think he said something like, I have a plan or something. And then she hid, and I was like, what is his plan? He's just going to leave her in there the whole time.
Right. I think he was going to have her scare him, and then he got distracted, and then never really did anything. But I feel like that was one of those things where I was like, you're sitting in the closet. Do you not, like, when does it become awkward to come out? I feel like that moment has passed long ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's what happened. She's just like, well, I had a chance, now it's
And by the way, the subject that hasn't been revisited yet was the date with the other chef in the restaurant. I would honestly, I would be glad if they just ignored that part.
That was just so creepy.
As that like, kind of series.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. I was just creeped out. Leon thought I'm like, I don't really like this guy. I thought he was a cool character, but nah, I don't think so.
I think like
opinion has changed.
I feel like he'll play an important role later down in the series.
Yeah.
Because like once everyone realizes, you know, this girl likes a 45-year-old guy, and then even though he's been on date, that information, that kind of, I guess, bad guy moment will come from the chef, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come from him because he'll be the one to tell people, like, she'll be like, I think she likes him. And he's like, well, out of like maybe a moment of scorn or something, maybe he'll say something. But
I feel like that might be
what's set up.
Unless the roles there are just to be like the, you know, people that aren't really approving of this type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, she's trying to make her face reality that not everyone's going to be as accepting of this as you think they are, you know, just because it's going to fit your, you know, you like it doesn't mean everyone's going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do hope that's what they kind of do to him, because I feel like that's what his character is created to be. Because if they suddenly try to be like, oh, well, this is a redeeming feature, and they'll make him try to defend them or something, I don't know. But I would kind of be more like, eh, that's kind of a bad way to do it, because that would be feel like outside of his character.
Right, yeah.
At least what he's done.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. Well, series I'm enjoying, I think Jerry, I don't know if you're still watching it, Yuri Camp or...
Yep, I'm up to date.
Laid Back Camp is what they're translated it to. But so I'm enjoying this one. It's, I think every week it just gives me something fun to watch. Just watching the characters kind of interact. Even though I'm kind of like still waiting for the moment when all the characters are get together camp, and I'm like, when is that going to happen? But I was like, yeah, it's probably not until the very, very, very end. So I know, Chucky, whatever. She's not going to let everyone, never mind the other girl. Rin's not really gonna let everybody hang out with her. She's very, very shy.
Mm-hmm. But she's getting more comfortable with Nadeshiko, as we see in this last episode. Like, you know, she invited her camping this episode, so she said she'd invite her the next time they go camping.
Watching the interaction between those two characters is funny. Mm-hmm. Almost like this sibling thing going on between them that. Nadeshiko is kind of like not all there all the time.
Yeah,
I
do like that. Rin calls her grandma now.
Yeah, and she even plays into it. And she acts like
Rin,
that.
Dear,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think the series is like has its great own pace, and you know, I don't even necessarily agree they need to ever get together and always go camping together. I feel like that's the kind of the good of the show. Like, yeah, they did that in the opening, but that could have just been one of those things where they did it because eventually they'll have at least one time where they camp together. I feel like more so the characters are just the way they are set up now is best, and I like how they're having that all, you know, the experiences together. And you know, even when you're having, you know, in that one episode where Chiaki was going around and turns out to be Rin's grandfather. You know, she just meets him and he's like, oh yeah, I think like this show works well the way it's set up as of right now. So
I saw some fan art of that character where they had him like dressed like Big Boss. It was pretty awesome. Like, what? Wow, well, he does kind of look like him a little bit. Like from Metal Gear 5, like the old Snake.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, Rin's grandfather.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I finally revealed that. Oh, that's grandpa. Like, okay, now I see where she gets the, you know, riding the bike by herself and going camping old times from him. That's pretty interesting how they kind of tied that together. And I do like the interactions they have with some of like random people. Like last episode, you had Nadeshiko and Rin kind of camping together. And they saw this, I guess, couple out there, and they were talking to them. I thought it was pretty nice how they interacted with them, even asking for help on the new stove that Rin is so obsessed with now.
Yeah, the mini grill. I like that moment because we've all had that where we've gotten something that we see like, oh, it didn't work. I watched all the videos.
Yeah. Obviously, I think that character will play a more important role because he reveals she's going to be a teacher. So more than likely, she'll show up at the school.
Yeah.
And we'll see her interactions more with that. So
yeah, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if they work it into where she's the club, whatever, leader thing.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Because she goes camping, but she also goes camping and get drunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My teacher can't beat us drunk.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was pretty funny. And then, like, the end of the episode where they want to sleep in separate tents, but Rin was spooked because of the urban legend about the monster. Mm-hmm. It scared her so much she had to sleep with Nadesco at the end. It was pretty funny. And also the part where she rented that boat to get across the lake a little faster. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like she said, it does sound like a waste to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And then you get the shot of the sister. What does she do when her little sister goes camping? She just goes there to have coffee. So I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wondered last time, like why would she do that, drive all that way out there, drop her sister off, and drive back? I'm like, she wouldn't drive back home, would she? Like, mm-hmm. And then come back in the morning again. Like, that's, you know, like, I think I mentioned last time, that's like, most siblings wouldn't do that for the younger sibling, you know. Mm-hmm. I know if I was driving, I probably wouldn't do that either.
Yeah.
Like, no, find your own way. But I guess it just shows me that how close they are, I guess. So. But yeah, I'm enjoying that one. I've seen a huge explosion of artwork, fan art of a certain character in the series.
Oh yeah, Aoi or Yui? Yeah. What's her name?
Yeah, she hasn't done anything, but the fan art for her is just like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There was this one episode where they got into hot springs, and mm-hmm. it was like off to the races for fan artists everywhere.
Oh yeah, the one I keep seeing, which I won't get into any of the lewd stuff they've been putting out there. Just they sweat like they're wearing like a scarf and a swimsuit. A bikini.
Oh yeah,
it's like the big thing that I've seen artists do with her, with the characters. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, you want to show off some skin? Yeah. How most fan arts go, but
yeah, that stuff's there. But there has been some nice, wholesome, family friendly art, I guess.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. And then the last thing, I think I saw someone do a mashup of the opening with Jackson 5, and then I'm like, Amra, of course,
was saying that last time.
Yeah, it sets itself up for that. It's the same kind of style of music. Almost, but like, that's pretty funny. Let's go back to Steve. What's the next series you're keeping up with?
So the kind of the show I want to mention, at least more specifically, the current arc that's been going on in Boruto. What?
I'm a little bit behind on it, but it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious, I mean, what's going on too.
It's not a super spoily kind of.
Yeah, it's fine.
Arc or anything like that. I mean, nothing, you know, that's one thing about Boruto in general. Boruto hasn't been par for the, you know, except for the one arc with Sarada and, you know, the Sakura and, you know, Sasuke and everything. Besides that arc, generally speaking, the arcs have been very, you know, not super serious.
Even the most serious one, which
was about the class president, even that one wasn't super serious in the way it was handled.
The one about the water village, Mike, I do not care. Yeah. I do not care anymore.
Yeah, either way, it was just one of those things where the series, like, it's hard to say because definitely they're taking a much more, I guess, laid back, not to get into too much about Eurocamp, but it's a laid back approach to the series in terms of not ramping it up, mm-hmm. you know, and throwing in all the major stuff that Naruto had in its first, been 50 episodes or something like that almost.
Right. They don't want to jump right into, this is going to be a 100 episode arc.
Not that. It's just, I don't think they want to. I think they want this series to run for 20 years, you know. Right. They want to One Piece this series, you know.
Right. They don't want to reveal the final boss yet.
Yeah.
The final villain. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, but this current arc, I think I've been really enjoying it because it's just a nice focus, and we've been getting a lot more with Shikudai, his character and his relationship with, I can't remember his name, but the ice guy. And kind of like meeting him and learning about his past too. This most recent episode, we got to learn about his past, and I guess which will have somewhat of a predictable ending, I believe. Obviously, that, you know, the leader of the what's the name of the gang?
The Byakuya.
Byakuya, yeah. That gang, obviously I'd probably be manipulating whatever, but still, I've been enjoying the way they've kind of handled the arc. And I thought the story, like, cause it started off almost like a story that didn't really have a whole lot to it. Like, it didn't seem like it was that important. You know, they just went to a bank to stop this guy, and it's kind of like evolved into, you know, this whole story about the thieves and everything. And the, it's been great seeing that kind of perspective. And even like that one, we got that little moment where, now I can't even remember her name. Shikadai's mother, Temari.
Temari.
Yeah. She was sitting there and she's like, Boruto, Shikadai, come help. And we kind of got to see them cooperate. That was kind of like a cool little moment too. And, seeing that kind of in the village, cause it's one of those things where you don't get a whole lot of the adults. So every time you kind of see the adults doing things, I guess it brings back fuzzy memories of Naruto. So
yeah,
I've been enjoying this arc just in general because of that too. So
yeah. And it's gotten, as you say, at first it kind of started off like it would be like another mini arc.
Episodic, or even like.
But it has kind of evolved as we've seen Ryogi and Shikidai's dialogue together, and I like that Shikidai is starting to become a more prominent character in the arc, based off of his relationship with this guy, and you know, we'll see how much more Shikidai gets involved. But it's good to see Boruto still be in the mix, but he doesn't have to be at the absolute forefront of the arc. So that's
again, that was the biggest fault with Naruto, is it felt like Naruto needed to be at the forefront of everything. And and even in some of the last episodes of Naruto that aired, you know, early last year, you know, they all like abandoned Naruto and they gave other characters arcs and stuff. And even Shikamaru got his own little arc, and it was just kind of, it was good seeing that. And so Boruto, I feel like, is taking a note from them. And maybe it's just because they're like, well, we need to come up with more material and not just focus on one person the whole time. But it makes me kind of more excited to see what's next too. Although I do feel like they need to eventually, as I said, they've been taking more of a laid back approach. They do need to eventually kind of ramp something up, because if it's just always going to be this kind of stuff, we don't get any real progress in any of the characters or story. Because really, if you think about it, very few characters have really learned anything super new since the start of the series. I mean, obviously, Sarada has gained her Sharingan, the one dot Sharingan. So we've gotten that. But other than that, like, all the characters have more or less remained very consistently the same. So I would like to see a little bit more progress there.
Yeah, I think it was by this time in Naruto where they started the Chunin exams. Maybe that could be like a sort of turning point in the series where it can transition into a more involved arc.
Yeah, right. But part of the problem with that is they've already even mentioned Naruto and, you know, his team was already probably at the level of a Chunin. So they've even kind of already set that up. So I just like to see some kind of progress there, some kind of story there. So at least kind of giving them something, giving them a more serious opponent. Obviously they've been turning it up, but I feel like it's been so slow. It's been trickling in, I guess. It's the best way to put it right now. They need to kind of amp up the story or something, or get something going. Cause again, we keep hitting so much. So this is the time of peace. Maybe we need to instigate something, like maybe not necessarily a full-blown war, but something has to happen to destabilize the peace process, I think.
Right, yeah, someone bad needs to rise into power out of nowhere. Surprise! Have all this power. Yeah, but I gotta get caught up on that. That and Gintama, I've been feeling bad, I haven't caught up on that at all. Like, oh man, I need to start watching it.
I guess to get into a little bit of a side Gintama discussion, I want to mention how bad Gintama, like, there were like the start of this whole season of Gintama was just bad, so I do not blame you. And part of the problem has been just the Gintama itself relying too much on the trying to make everyone remember how cool people are moments. Like, we had too many moments of like, hey, it's me, don't you remember this gag? And then repeating that gag, and it's just like, oh no, it's me. Because Gintama's got so many great characters, but the problem is they've got so many great characters, and they were like, in this two or three episode span and period, they're like, let's have them all be introduced. Right. You know, and to admit, some of the gags were pretty hilarious. Like, I really loved Did you see the episode of the Yamazaki gag?
I don't think I've seen it yet.
Yeah, I'll just spoil a little bit. You know, all the guys come back, right? And so they're going to join the war. Oh, it's obviously very similar. You know, you obviously expected the Shinsengumi to come back in the last, you know, but they come back and they're all like, we've changed. And it gets to all the characters and it shows off all their changes. And what's his name? I can't even think of his name. The gorilla guy, Kondo. Yeah. Kondo comes in and he's all like, look at me. I now have shed everything and I've become a stronger guy. And he takes off all his clothes and he's just butt naked. And he's like, he's super fast now because he was wearing like Ninja Turtle stuff. Or not Ninja Turtles, like you know, like the armor stuff that you see in like Dragon Ball Z. And then,
right, weighted clothing.
yeah. And then Hijigata comes up and he's like, I've become a stronger person. I stopped putting mayo on everything. And
yeah.
Like, really? And then Shogo's like, I've become a better person. And he's like, I stopped messing with Hijigata, you know. And it's just like, they're right, just idiots, right? And then, of course, then Yamazaki, or some big burly guy, like, you know, looks like he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger from the Predator movie. And he comes out and he's like, and yes, I've changed. He has like a big bazooka and blows up a tank. He's like, I've changed too. And he's like, who are you? I'm Yamazaki, you know? You know, the guy who carried around the little tennis racket, the little squirrely guy. And it was just like the funniest thing ever. And it was just, it was absolutely hilarious. Like, he's changed way too much. But other than that one gag, I feel like all the other gags have really kind of taken this is not that interesting. And I feel like the story's trying too hard. It almost feels a lot like they tried to imitate, and maybe this is what they're really kind of parodying, which would make sense. Not that, you know, Gintama hasn't had big wars in the past, but it feels like it's just trying to parody the war with the last Naruto war, the best battle.
I could see them doing that,
Yeah, but maybe that's why it's taken that arc, much
like
more.
A lot of characters in the past suddenly show up out of nowhere, or brought back to life because of they're zombies, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, and some characters die, and it feels like they're really kind of taking that approach to it. Right. So maybe that's what they are doing. I'm not quite sure, but...
They could make fun of, like, the big superhero movies with all these characters running around. Like Civil War and Avengers. Like, oh, there's 20 characters.
I think they've already made fun of that, I believe. So I think they had an episode where they had, you know, different people fighting each other, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, just this little side Gintama discussion. I can't talk about Gintama to anyone else because no one else is cool enough to watch the show.
No problem. Maybe after it finally ends for real. But I was told, like, wait, there's one more episode. We'll see. But I guess the biggest show we'll talk about next is Darling in the Franxx, which I think it's been like four episodes since we talked about it on the recording. But I'm still enjoying that one. It's, well, kind of a... Well, easy to say it's great because it's not robots.
I guess we can go ahead and say spoiler alert, because this one you kind of can spoil some things. This latest episode
was a lot. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, and I think it wasn't just the action and the animation that was great. One thing I loved was that they like, everyone knows Hiro isn't going to die, right?
No. I mean, I was like, nah.
And I feel like too many shows do the whole, well, we got to lead up to something, and then we'll just be like, next week. But this episode, they were like, or this series, they were like, let's just go ahead and do it all this week. Let's not try to split the cool moments. Let's just give it one contained episode of where, you know, Hiro, he's very injured. Dave gets in to defend against the, I can't even think of the name of those monsters.
Klaxosaurs.
Klaxosaurus, yeah. And they gave us this whole story, so we got to see the whole fight. We got to see, you know, that one team do their thing, and then this team kind of coming together. And then, of course, Zero Two and Hiro kind of evolving. And I think that was just, that made this episode amazing and really good.
I'm glad that they actually did something, the other units this episode, because the previous episodes, I was like, man, y'all just getting carried by Strelitzia. Like, how are you guys even, like, pilots? Like, they just never did anything until Strelitzia came in.
Yeah. Again, they were just a brand new team.
Yeah.
I like that the team was like, they're like, why do you guys have the special design robots when ours are just plain, same, all of ours are the same? And then I guess you learn that this team that we're following for so long has just been thrown together recently. So they're not really a full team. But it does make you wonder, like, why are their designs so unique versus, like, the other guys who have been, like, they've been in there for, like, probably a team for forever. And theirs are more military-looking, still, like, black and gray and, you know.
I mean,
much more coordinated as well.
This is also a much better way to put it because, like, you see how green these characters are because, you know, they even talk about, you know, you had a Zorome, he came in and was like, so has anyone of your team became an adult? And they were like, oh, no, let's hold him. So there's obviously a lot more we need to kind of know about why they're pilots and parasites and what's going on there. But I definitely think, like, this so far, like, one thing I wanted to mention was this story has been so well done because I think I don't want to say A1's the cause of this, but I feel like one of Trigger shows for me are very, they're very up and down for me. Like, I know a lot of people love Trigger, and I'm not going to say that they're a bad studio, but like they don't always appeal to me, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of shows that I just couldn't get into, you know, like Kill la Kill. I mean, even Little Witch Academia, which I did like, don't get me wrong. I just know, like, on my viewpoint of the show is drastically different from a lot of other people's viewpoint. Right. And I think part of the reason is, you know, next to, I'd say, Kiznaiver, I think that one had a little bit more seriousness in it. I think Trigger tends to have more of a, how do I say, like, more of a whimsical kind of, not whimsical may not be the right word here, but more of a kind of a different approach. Like, they don't take it super seriously. They let the campiness, I guess was the best way to put it, kind of take control of the series. You know, and they have episodes like in Little Witch where they're big mushrooms growing everywhere, or even in Kill la Kill where they have these kind of, I guess, more campy kind of things and fights. And I just don't click with that very well as much.
Right.
And I really like the way, at least Darling in the Franxx had much more of a serious approach. And we've seen things like, you know, especially when we see the after effects of riding with Strelitzia and Mitsuru, you know, him having ride with her once and he's like completely paralyzed and fear and just doesn't know what, like, but he's hiding it. And it's just like, I enjoy that more serious attitude the series has been kind of pushing out.
Good view that, like, showing you that this is the after effects of what happens when you ride with her and all this stuff, and how not everyone's compatible. There's reasons why.
Well, I mean, even the feelings, like the feeling afterwards where he was like, well, why couldn't I be with her? Like, why is this guy so much better than me? And like, I just feel like I really kind of like that. And again, they've set a lot of things up too. And I'm curious to see about that. Cause even the other team was like, why are these, you know, low digit numbers, which apparently have some real value. Like, why they are, you know, 15, 16, and 17, I think, is Goro?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, like, why are these low-number guys with this kind of janky team? Again, there's a lot being fleshed out, and that's one thing I'm really curious to see how that kind of plays in, too.
The reveal that Zero-Two has a reputation with all these other teams. The other team was scared, was freaked out by her. They didn't want to be anywhere near her. And then you see them, like, everyone's, like, they're bandaged up. They got the, like, braces on their legs or anything. So it's like, yeah, you can see why. I mean, it's like, she pushes people too hard. She doesn't really care.
I don't even think it was scared. They weren't really scared. I think they were more
intimidated, maybe.
Not even intimidated. They had a hate for her. Like, like, she, because of the way she acted, because these guys were team. They're like, you know, commando units. And they felt like, you know, Strelitzia was like a rogue element, and you know, for a commando unit that has to have everything nice and synced, you know, think of something like Overwatch, right? You best when you play as a team, but then you get that one fucker that decides he's gonna go flank everyone, and he's and he gets, you know, flanking Zenyatta and he dies, and you're like, why are you flanking a Zenyatta? It's like, I feel like that's what they're more, they hate her more
because, the team, you know,
yeah, like that. She's the Leroy Jenkins of the team. Yeah, exactly. You know, so, that. Yeah. And apparently she did something that caused at least some kind of death or hurt or pain right. to their
yeah,
team.
I can see that. So, I mean, the way she fights in a couple of beginning episodes, it seems to be like, all on me, like, get out of my way, I'm doing this, I'll take care of it.
Kind of like and, arrogant attitude, like, I don't exactly. really need you guys.
So I can see her just like, if there's someone in her way, like an ally, she just run right through them, she wouldn't care at that time, I think, because she's just wanting to fight. And she made the comment in the last episode, I have to keep fighting these monsters. So they haven't really revealed why, because he asked her, like, why do you fight? She's like, I just want to fight. So I got to kill the monster. So they haven't really revealed what that plot is even yet with her. Because she made it's kind of like a serious face, like, I have to keep killing them. Like, so I'm like, there's something with that. But yeah, it seemed like I did like seeing the other team and how at the end they kind of somewhat came together a little bit. Like, they kind of, at least, they're not friends. I mean, they're talking maybe. I don't know.
You know, one thing I also want to mention real quick, too, is I've really enjoyed the music of this series. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've done a great job with that. And I just really liked how the music has played a role in the series, too. So it's one of those things where some series have certain elements that work in its favor. Some series has other elements that work. Like some series, like, you watch that because I love the music, or I watch it because I love mm-hmm. the animation. I feel like this series so far has hit like a lot of points, like, you know, great animation and fight scenes, great story so far, good characters, the music has been great set pieces and like design, like where you get to see like moments of like beautiful animation, just mm-hmm. kind of like cool moments like that too. I feel like this series is really kind of hitting out of the park right now, too, because of that.
Yeah, the music is from Robotic Notes, Arai no Seraph, Haikyuu, Gun and Build Fighters. So it's a mixture of, like, especially Gun and Build Fighters, which is I like the soundtrack. It really has a lot of hype moments, a lot of, like, serious moments. So it's a little bit, like you said, the music does carry the show a lot when there's, like, something happening. Like, last episode, I think it was, like, you know, when Hiro is technically, quote-unquote, dead, like, he's dying. He's kind of like in and out of consciousness. The music's like, it's kind of helping things get along too. And then he gets up and it's like the triumphant moment and they fight. But yeah, it's pretty good. They're like 0-2. They show her kind of like what happens when her co-pilot kind of passes out or dies. She goes almost like berserk. Like, I guess my comparison was like Eva, one of the movies where the character goes berserk and is ripping things, like just going crazy. It shows you like she's almost going to that breaking point. I mean, it might happen a little bit later on, right. Where she does finally snap, and you have to calm her down somehow. So it was like, it was cool seeing that like dramatic side of that character, because usually you don't get to see her do anything much on screen. But
mm-hmm. yeah, and then Hiro's magically cured.
Yeah, he's like, he breathed it in. He's like, oh, I'm good. I was waiting for him to grow like some blue horns, because I think Japanese mythology is about a story about red oni and blue oni, that both the demons together. So I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens later on, that maybe he does grow blue horns somewhere.
Again, it's just one of the things they're setting up. I'm curious to see why. Obviously, something poisons the pilots that she's with. Because, again, they're called parasites, and that's the thing. So I feel like something about her was, you know, acting like a parasite to her hosts or her pilots. And that was killing them off before, so I don't know why he specifically was able to overcome the parasite. Yeah. Maybe it was just his feelings for her or whatever. But
did that doctor ever show up before that episode?
He's been around
two and three, I think.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been like kind of covering around. He's said about the same amount of lines. Okay. Just very kind of like a background guy. So
I always compare him to the one guy from the Aquarian who just walks in. Says a dumbass quote, walks out. And everyone's just like, what the hell did you just say? He's like, okay, well, wait, what he just said? he said something about the union is something getting between the two characters. I'm like, so, okay, I guess. That's why he just is back 100% cured, because, yeah. But it's clearly the cliche anime thing. It's like, is it going to be, like you said, love that is his love for her, or finally that he has a purpose now, that he's now driven now, and that's why he cured himself.
It said even to begin with that when he first piloted, he synced with her more than anyone else. So, and we know nothing about his origins or anything.
Right, exactly.
Again, the fact that he's, you know, a teen number. You know, there might be something more, something to him. And obviously, again, there's a lot to kind of be revealed for the show. So we can kind of like hypothesize all day. But, you know, this is a 24-episode series and we're, what, 6 episodes in?
Yeah, a lot can happen from here to the final. Yeah. I'm just like, back of my mind is praying that they don't like, oh, Hero and Zero Two are brother and sister. That's why they're so unique together. And he was also a demon, to a monster too, like her.
I don't know.
Again,
there's so much more that they've hinted at to now. I mean, even the fact that they said that there's a front line. So somewhere we keep having this. Oh, they're just protecting this. This garden, but there's apparently some bigger war going on. Mm-hmm. So I feel like eventually they'll get to that point where there'll be at least some, if not all of them, will be sent to the front line. And we'll see that kind of what's going on there. So
you think there's a space episode to send all these characters to space and there's a big space monster fight?
Well, that's even if it's all in space, but I don't know.
It's not very clear,
you know, what these monsters are, where they're coming from.
Yeah, they haven't said if they're on Earth or not.
Well, it's probably
on Mars for all we know.
Could be a similar Kill la Kill thing where, you know, the material for the clothing was like an alien species. Came from another world.
I will say, I like the designs of the monsters. They're pretty cool looking. Like, every week has been something unique. Even though it's feeling like, oh my god, it's a giant, like, that episode was a giant razor. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, it's a giant razor. Like, yeah, I guess. And then the one we got, the last episode, where it's a big cube, but it transforms into like this giant monster thing. It was pretty interesting. And it changes into that, from that to like a bull, a battering ram.
I was like, sounds a lot like Evangelion.
So, yeah, pretty much. You can change on the spot. But yeah, so what do you guys like any of the other characters? I like the stuff with Ichigo. She's kind of like maybe learning what emotions are. Kind of a silly thing, but she's like that. She's confused on something. She feels something for a Hero, but it's new to her, which explains a lot. Cause, I mean, they don't really talk about that kind of stuff. They're all about fighting and everything. So it's kind of interesting seeing that side of her, that she's learning something else about herself. Maybe that she does like him. And I thought it was kind of sad if she friend zoned herself. She was like, "You're like a brother to me." I'm like, God. Why'd you do that?
Well, that's someone linked
a picture of a ram from ReZero. I'm like, okay, yeah.
that's like one thing I will say about the series. And that's something about, I think, Trigger in general does this. I like the characters, don't get me wrong, but Trigger doesn't know anything about unique characters. And it's one of those things where I'm talking about, like, not designs or, you know, clothing that talks. I'm talking about
personalities, I guess.
Personalities, yes. The character personalities for Trigger are pretty much like, all right, what trope can we put in this character?
True.
What trope can we put in this character? And I feel like that's what they do. So it's hard to really say, like, yeah, I like these characters, don't get me wrong. But right now, most of what I see of all these characters is just trope A, trope B, trope C. And until we kind of get more into, you know, who they are and we get more about their, you know, who they are actually and their personality and in their backstory, maybe even then I'll be like, yeah, I can like this character. Cause so far we haven't really gotten too much outside of, say, Ichigo, I believe, and Hero are really the only characters that had really any kind of true development. I mean, Goro is just the bigger brother guy. You know, he's the guy that you always hate because you could tell he has feelings for Ichigo, but he's pushing her toward Hero because she likes Hero and he's trying to be the good guy. And then, of course, you have Zorome, the classic, I can do everything myself, but obviously I don't want to admit I need help. And then the classic Miku, who's like, I hate him, but obviously she probably likes Zorome at some point. And, you know, just every character, again, has that trope to them. So, and I think, obviously, the best waifu material right now is Kokoro. You know, she's sitting there, and they're, like, sitting there. She's feeding.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, like, I want my partner to feed me, and turns on, she's feeding her partner.
That to me is, like, that's the team that's finally wiped out first.
Yes.
That makes you feel bad when you die. Like, oh, God, they're dead now.
Yeah, their character, they will probably be dead first. I agree.
Right, they're probably the ones taken out. They do some self-sacrifice. Oh, God. Oh, no. But yeah, I mean, the characters that you say, yeah, I can agree that Trigger has that, but then I look like a lot of studios have the issue, too. certain characters, you know, they don't really pull them off very well, or they force it too much. And
to me, it's more about once we learn about those characters that I can actually truly say that. Because, you know, kind of getting back to Kiznaiver, like, that's the one series that had all the tropey characters again. But then once we learned about the characters, then I was like, oh.
I kind of felt the same with, like a different series, like Anohana was like that. All the characters were kind of just these plain, generic anime characters you've seen in every show. But then you learn about their past, why they act the way they act, and you're like, okay, well, makes sense now. So, especially like with Frank, I think it's going to be the same, where once we get to know these characters a little bit better, like you said, you know, maybe have an episode where they're just goofing around, so you can finally learn about them. But yeah. Anything else to say? Are we done with this episode?
No, nothing more.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it so far. What about you, Steve? Anything else to say?
No, again, it's been one of my favorite shows certainly airing. So, as I said, that last episode, this week's episode was just so good. You know, it really kind of, I guess, highlighted this as one of the best of the seasons for sure. I mean, if I had any kind of doubts of, do I like it? Do I like, cause, you know, I had the point where I was like, I think the mech designs are ridiculously stupid. you know, the one team's mechs were way more like, oh, I get that. But these team's mechs were, I just always kind of hated it, thought were stupid looking. But, you know, this, the feelings, emotion, the way they carry the story out, this really, like, any kind of problems I have with the series are outweighed by the good elements. So,
yeah, I can agree on that. It's been pretty interesting so far. Well, I guess that's all the episodes to talk about. I guess see you guys next time for another episode of Yanjok. Nothing but ear that poured. Oh, me, Madatari.